You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Well, good morning. Thank you so much, Nick, for sharing your testimony with us. It's always encouraging just to see God moving in people's lives, even when they don't expect it. So thank you just for what you shared today. If you are visiting with us for the first time, we extend a very warm welcome to you. Thank you. You could have gone anywhere to worship on this Resurrection Sunday, and you came to be with us. So we're grateful that you are here. If you're watching online, we welcome you as well. The Westside Church, we are doing a series at the moment where we are studying out the Holy Spirit and what does it mean to be led by the Spirit. And so we wanted to try today to bring in the Holy Spirit component to the resurrection. So today we're looking at the resurrection and the Holy Spirit, and our key scripture which we'll look at and get to is from Romans chapter 8, verse 11. So on Good Friday, we celebrated here a wonderful time together, really reflective and meditative, and it was quite emotional thinking about all that Jesus had done for us in dying on the cross and his sacrifice. But today really is a celebration because it is the newness of life as we celebrate the resurrection. But just for a moment, can you imagine how the disciples must have felt on Good Friday, seeing their Lord, their master, their friend, their brother being crucified? How would they have felt? Defeated, discouraged, disappointed, shocked? It must have been really tough and challenging for them, especially even Peter, who would have felt ashamed that he denied Jesus. And yet they would have heard Jesus say that he was going to raise from the dead in 3 days. But did they really believe him? Because you don't see that within the scriptures. And even it says at the end of Mark 16 that they doubted and that Jesus rebuked them for their lack of belief. So it must have been really challenging for them. So let's take a look at the resurrection narrative and just to see a little bit of what is going on. So in Mark 16, verses 1 through 4, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they could go and anoint the body of Jesus. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they went to the tomb. They were asking one another, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they put him, but go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So the women left the tomb and ran away, trembling and bewildered. I definitely would be too. And in their fear, they did not say a word to anyone. You see, even in this moment of them hearing the good news, it was almost too good to be true. And they found it tough and challenging to be able to accept that had Jesus really risen from the dead? The Bible tells us that Jesus goes on and he meets them. They are overwhelmed with joy and yet doubt at the same time. Whole mixed bag of emotions. And then we find this in John's account. John chapter 20. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came in and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You see, Jesus' resurrection, of course, was to bring incredible things to the world that we still celebrate today, but it was also to bring the Holy Spirit into their lives. You see, in doing so, the Bible says here that Jesus breathed new life into them by breathing the Holy Spirit onto them, and it almost parallels back in Genesis chapter 2 where God breathed life into Adam, They are now becoming the second creation as we are, as God breathes new life into us through the resurrection and through the Holy Spirit. You see, the resurrection made way for the Holy Spirit. So I have a question for you. So considering where they were at, how they were definitely feeling, what did the resurrection bring to the disciples? So you have 1 minute. We like to be very interactive in the West Side. So you have 1 minute to talk to the person next to you. What do you think the resurrection brought to the disciples? Apart from, of course, the Holy Spirit. What did it bring them? Off you go, 1 minute. Okay, wonderful. Now, there are too many people for us to be doing hands. So, did any of you have any of these words? Yes. Hope, promise, life, power, the Holy Spirit, reassurance, and I'm sure you had many others as well. But you see, the resurrection is life-giving. That is why we celebrate this, and that's why it has so much meaning to our lives today. It brought them life. And in summary, the resurrection was a beacon of hope and reassurance, serving as a reminder of the power of God over death and the promise of the Holy Spirit. The resurrection brought life by the Holy Spirit. That is what it means for us today. Now, if we go on and we think about the impact that the resurrection and the Holy Spirit had, even in the early church, it's amazing. So here is an AI picture of the Apostle Peter, and he's preaching the gospel right after, only a few days before, really, he had denied Jesus, was back fishing, and now he's preaching the gospel to thousands of people. Why? Because the resurrection brought the newness of life. Newness of life. This is what he says. God has raised this Jesus to life, to which we all are witnesses. Exalted then to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Therefore, let all Israel know with certainty that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and asked Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" This is incredible. This is his very first sermon he's preaching, and we're seeing this amazing response. Why? Because he's been filled with the Holy Spirit because of the resurrection of Jesus. Now, have any of you ever done any public preaching? Not this, but like outside publicly. Many years ago, when I was in London, we had a ministry week where we would invite people to come and join, be part of the full-time ministry for a week. And that we would give different challenges to people of what they should do. And one of them was to do some public preaching. And so I had never done any before, and I have no idea what came over me. But I decided I was going to go in central London to this place. This is called The Exchange. And it's like the business financial district in central London. And so I said, I'm going to preach the word today publicly. So I went out at people's lunchtime, and one of my friends was with me. And I stood up, and it was about a number this size. And I just started preaching. I had no idea what I was going to say. But words just started coming out of my mouth. I was terrified before doing it, and yet I was suddenly filled with a strength and a conviction before the security guards came and I kind of ran off. But we don't need to go there. No one responded, but I like to think that maybe one day in heaven, someone might come up to me and say, "You're the guy that ran away when the security guards came. No, you're the guy that I gave my life to Christ because of that." Who knows? Why am I telling you this? You see, it's so easy for us just to get comfortable within our faith. Anyone been there? I think sometimes we can get so comfortable that the Holy Spirit is almost like, "Do you really need me?" Think about what do we do religiously where we actually could really do without the Holy Spirit? We don't really need him. See, it's a scary place to be. And yet when we decide to step out in faith, who's right there to help us, to empower us, to strengthen us? It's the Holy Spirit. And this was Peter's moment, his very first sermon. And he's suddenly filled with the Holy Spirit. He's emboldened with what to say. He's given the words to speak. And what happens as a result? 3,000 people. 3,000 people get baptized into Christ. If we are comfortable religiously, sadly, I think we lose touch with what it really means to be Spirit-led. And that's what this whole series that we are exploring by being led by the Spirit is about. How can we step out into faith? How can we step up into faith so that we can truly learn to rely more and more on the Holy Spirit within our lives? Being complacent, being comfortable, it's difficult to do that. So I'm going to give you some challenges a little bit later on. But as we see, I won't read all of this. As we said, 3,000 people responded to Peter's message of the resurrection and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amazing. Not bad for your first sermon. This pattern continues throughout the book of Acts. They preach the good news of the resurrection. People respond by faith. They're baptized into Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit themselves. New life sprouts to the Jews, to the Samaritans, to the Gentiles, all because of the power of the resurrection and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't end there. It continues on for decades into the early church. And we see the resurrection still having power, still having impact, calling people back to their true devotion into Christ-likeness and to righteousness. So what does that mean for us today, 2,000 years on? Well, we're here today celebrating what happened 2,000 years ago because it brings the newness of life to us still today through the Holy Spirit. And this is what the Bible says in Romans 8, verse 11. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. You see, God's promise didn't end in the New Testament. It continues to bring us life today. Continues to. And this is how it happens. You see, the resurrection gives life through the Holy Spirit over death. The sad reality is that all of us are going to face death. But the Bible says our life doesn't need to end in death. But we have a resurrection waiting for us. Jesus gives us that resurrection. But secondly, the resurrection gives life while we are still alive, over sin, over the flesh, so that we can learn how to give our very all and our very best to God. How we can learn to live righteously. And righteous means being in a right relationship with God, with ourselves, but also with one another. We need help to be able to do that. That is not easy. None of us can do it on our own. That's why God has blessed us with these precious gifts so that we all have the tools needed to be able to live a life truly pleasing to Him. So, the resurrection brought about the Holy Spirit that continues to bring life. You know, when we look in the book of Acts particularly, we do see lots of people responding to the gospel in this way. I love the story of Lydia. And the Bible says that God had opened her heart to the message of Jesus so that when she heard, she immediately in her household got baptized into Christ. An amazing response. We see people like Paul who were opposing the gospel and actually had murderous threats towards Christians, and yet God humbled him. Jesus appeared to him and said, "What are you doing?" And God humbled him in such a way that he had no choice but to respond to Jesus and to be baptized as well, as we read. We find other people like Apollos who knew about Jesus. In fact, the Bible says that Apollos was teaching the gospel, and yet there was something missing. His doctrine or his teaching wasn't quite lined up to the truth of the scriptures. And so Priscilla and Aquila came in and they taught him. He then was used powerfully by God to spread the gospel. We see Timothy, a young man who Paul came across. And Timothy's mother was a Christian. We don't know if Timothy was a disciple at that time. But Paul saw him and took him with him. He then went on to become a great leader in the church. See, the Holy Spirit and the resurrection brings the newness of life. We just need to be ready when the Spirit is calling us. I was talking to one of the people that have been coming out to church recently, but this morning, he says, you know, I just feel like God is just trying to help me to not be so comfortable in my faith. He's trying to help me to bring new things in my life. God is always doing that. That's what he does. So my question is, how might God be wanting to breathe new life into you today? Because I think among us, we have lots of Apollos, people who know the gospel well, but why has God brought you here? What is it that he's trying to do within your life? We certainly have Lydias who are ready to respond to the gospel. We have people who God has allowed tough things to happen so that you can respond to the gospel message today. We have members of the church, perhaps, who have been here and who have been really enjoying their worship and getting deeper with God. What is the next chapter like for you? So as we close and we begin to think about the communion in a second, I'd like you to think carefully. How might God be wanting to breathe new life into you today? How has he been trying to get your attention? Are you ready for a new life in Christ? What beliefs or teachings has he been revealing for you to embrace? How has he been showing you to deepen or renew your devotion to him? You know, last year, I had a simple prayer, which was, God, I want my will to align with your will. That was my daily prayer throughout the whole year. Through that, God led me to therapy, which I did not see coming, because he's like, you need a little bit of help to align emotionally so I can get you emotionally healthy so that that won't be a block in you really living out the Holy Spirit's will in your life, CJ. And it opened up amazing doors. Then Cherie and I began to pray a 3 o'clock prayer from about this time a year ago that God would breathe new life through his Spirit into new teachings, a new direction for us, for our church, and for our family of churches. That is why I believe we're even doing the Living from the Heart Jesus Gave You series. Because it's something new, it's something fresh. And sometimes I think it's so easy for us to get things to get stale. And we're almost hanging on until Jesus comes. That's not what God wants for us. He wants to bring new life. So what is that new life that he may be trying to breathe into you today? So just for 2 minutes, share a minute each with the person next to you and think about how is he wanting to bring you new life. Then I will come out and we will pray for our communion today. Amen. Thank you. Our communion passage is this. In John 11, 25 and 26, Jesus told the disciples, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live. And I really believe it's not just talking about live after we die, but live now. There is a life that God has created for you that he's wanting you to live in the fullness of him. That's what the resurrection of the Holy Spirit brings. And even though he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. What an amazing life the resurrection brings to every single one of us. Let us never settle, never get comfortable. Let us lean into what the Spirit is trying to do within our lives, because we are living the most joyful life the world has ever seen because of the resurrection of Christ. Let us pray. Father, as we come to you today, taking this time to recenter ourselves on your Son, on his sacrifice, on the joy that was set before him, we pray that that will now become our joy as we learn to make room in our lives for your Holy Spirit, that you will continually deepen us in our walk with you, that you'll lead us, Father, to new paths where you want to strengthen us and embolden us and reinvigorate our lives, Father, through the resurrection. We thank you, God, for that new life that it brought. It's amazing when we read the scriptures, but God, let it not just be a thing of the past that we read about, but let it be a reality in our lives every single day. We thank you for your Son who was willing to go through all of that pain so that we can now enjoy the fullness of life that that resurrection brings. It's in your Son's precious name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.